early days of the internet attracted a lot of quirky personalities, including our dear friend and drag queen Victoria Lamar, who was one of the first video bloggers. Her passion for cabaret was matched by her outrageous humor she brought to dealing with her personal struggles and living with HIV and full-blown AIDS.
When Victoria got sick and had to spend time in the hospital, the listeners of the show raised money to buy her flowers. But the outpouring of generosity was so much so that we got her a computer, and Victoria Lamar, or VMAR as we like to call her, became a video blogging pioneer.
Sadly, Victoria Lamar went to Drag Queen Heaven, where the shows only start just 15 minutes late to a sold-out crowd, and everyone tips the girls $20 bills.
Today we celebrate Victoria Lamar and take a look back on her remarkable life as an accidental internet pioneer with her quirky music and viral videos.
Plus, RuPaul lip-syncs for her life on Lady Gaga's holiday special. What happened?
People are hating on Dustin Lance Black and Olympian teen cutie Tom Daly's new romance.
The New Jersey waitress who lied about getting an anti-gay insult instead of a tip was also lying about her military service and pretty much everything else.
Kim Kardashian is under fire for donating a measly 10% of her eBay charity sale to typhoon victims in the Philippines.
And it comes in threes. Farewell to actor Paul Walker and one of the world's greatest leaders, Nelson Mandela. He was 95. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Well, what I like to do with my workshop is to have people close your eyes and imagine themselves in their mother's womb.
Still, Zena, I wish you was never born.
Get out of the closet and learn about yourself.
Oh, burning up. Feel like I'm on fire.
I'm Nurse Stella Zena Rakowski.
Come on down to the Feast of Foods where you're going to have a good time.
That is Victoria Lamar as Nurse Stella Zena Rakowski in a video for our live show Feast of Fools that eventually became Feast of Fun.
And those were based on the Apple Switch ads. And we taped a bunch of them all in one day and had them on the computer or up on the internet before YouTube when it was hard to host videos.
It was really hard to host videos and we had to like compress them into tiny little windows and it took 5 minutes for those to load.
Wow.
On a regular, you know, most people had dial-up connections at the time. And, you know, Victoria Lamar was there from the very beginning with us doing live shows and she translated. She became an internet sensation in the early days when there was very little LGBT or drag queen or HIV positive content on the internet.
Yeah, as far as we know, she was the first video blogger who had HIV or AIDS.
Yeah. At first, you know, one of the first drag queens anywhere doing anything on the internet.
She was my drag mom in one of the first videos I ever did. Well, you know, beauty tips and where she transformed me into a lovely lady who wasn't so lovely.
Yes, Daphne Dumont was born in the sucking on Victoria Lamar's teat.
I had such a fun time filming that though, because her mother was there though too, and she was kind of her mother had, like, we didn't realize it at the time, was a broken arm. So if you watch the video, you'll see her in the back, and she's just kind of like watching us, going, "What are you crazy people doing?" But Victoria Lamar's little studio apartment saw a lot of action, and it was kind of like a social center for the building she lived in.
Well, it kind of inspired us to start video blogging ourselves. Mm. Like, she actually got us inspired and motivated. Mm. I actually met Victoria Lamar doing a fundraiser for the Chicago Transgender Society. I had been booked to host this show in a basement of a clothing store on the west side of Chicago. And on our way there, my friend Suki De La Croix, who is a Chicago historian, and Linda Lichina, who was identified as a female vampire. So these are really quirky.
Before Twilight became a thing.
Before Twilight ruined vampires. They took me and they said, "Oh, you got to pick up Victoria Lamar on the west side of Chicago," before we went to Transformations, the store. And so I knocked on the door, and there stood this quirky, crooked-fingered drag queen, Victoria Lamar, and got in the car with us to do this show in the seedy basement of a clothing store that specialized in transformations for transgender women. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, It was being filmed for cable access, which was the YouTube of its day, and they really had extremely low production values. They had a boombox that ran on batteries. They couldn't even get an extension cord, and a microphone pointed to one of the speakers to get the boombox into the sound system of the stage. And Victoria Lamar had brought her cassette tape of Bette Midler's "The Rose." Some say love, there is a river. And so Victoria started singing this, but luckily for her, I guess, or unluckily for her, the cassette player ran out of juice on the batteries.
Because it was just on batteries, it wasn't plugged in.
It wasn't plugged in, so it's like... And, you know, instead of like stopping, which most sane people would, Victoria Lamar just started changing her key to stay in sync with this slowly dying cassette.
Because she wasn't lip-syncing. She was actually singing to the karaoke
version. Yeah.
Because she wasn't like slowing her mouth
some
down.
Some say love, there is a river. And so finally the thing ground to a halt. And she's like, okay, I guess I'm done with my performance now.
The world said end, and it did. But did she even call herself Victoria Lamar at that point in time?
Well, she had a lot of different names, as most early drag queens did. Mm-hmm. But I actually pushed her to do Victoria Lamar because my niece's name was Victoria, and I thought it'd be so much fun to have a drag queen best friend who also had the name as my niece Victoria.
Oh, and so we like to call her V Mark, kind of like a shortened J Lo.
Well, that because my niece was. Her father called her Vimo, Victoria Morales, and I thought that was so cute and clever, so I translated it to Vimar. And then when Victoria Lamar got sick and went to the hospital, we turned to the listeners and said, hey, does anybody want to PayPal some money so we can get her some nice flowers? Well, it turned out that you guys, the audience of the show, in the early days of the podcasting phenomena that it was, gave over $1,000 to this, like, drag queen, this little character they didn't even personally know. They just loved what she did on the podcast to get her own computer so she could actually get on the internet and like respond to comments, you know, because Victoria lived in and grew up in poverty here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And she grew up in the gay part of town.
Well, she grew up in Boys Town before it really was Boys Town. It was kind of a ghetto back in the day. And, you know, I think it was, you know, her family had some tough, you know, tough situations. There was, I think, two or three fires that Victoria may or may not have set. And so,
well, according to one video she made, which is she's kind of like winking, which is Victoria's Secrets. She starts it off by saying that her family suffered through 5 house fires. So we don't know if somebody in that family had actually set their homes ablaze to get the insurance money.
Or if it was just Victoria having a little fun with us.
We'll with matches.
Never know.
Well, she took that to her grave. One of the, so Victoria started video blogging and people started saying, it's like, hey, you know what? You know who you look like? Kathy Griffin, comedian Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin always said she wishes she were like Cher and had drag queens impersonate her. So when Kathy Griffin came to Chicago, I contacted her publicist and said, well, we have a drag queen that looks a lot like Kathy Griffin.
They were a little, they had some trepidation.
Well, no, on via email, they were like, oh my God, this will be amazing. Oh my God, bring that drag queen, bring your recording equipment, and you can do a podcast from the backseat of Kathy Griffin's limousine.
But then she went on Man Cow that morning and somebody told Kathy Griffin, you are ugly and you look like a man. So when we showed up with the drag queen, you know.
The publicist was like, I'm not sure this is a good idea. But of course, Kathy Griffin loved Victoria Lamar and felt that she was like a sister spirit.
And Victoria even like started shaking. You know how Kathy Griffin has this little head shake that she does with her hair, and Victoria had it down pat.
So Victoria was really good at like channeling different divas. As she would have been an amazing contender on RuPaul's Drag Race if she were around, and if that show existed in her day, in her heyday. We were invited to do a live podcast at the Apple Store in downtown Chicago. And at that time, Madonna had gotten a lot of press when she did a cameo at Steve Jobs' keynote, where she showed up and said, I'm just sick and tired of not seeing my music in the on the iTunes music store. So we decided to parody that at the Apple store with their equipment, making it look like it was Madonna. Mm-hmm. And Victoria Lamar showed up as Madonna, but she called herself Esther and kept talking about her new book, My Daughter is a Little Brat.
And it was supposed to be a little take on Mommy Dearest, so that when Lola grew up, she wouldn't write a Mommy Dearest. Madonna was going to beat her to the punch. Now, we dumbed it down for the Apple store, because I think originally when we talked about it on the show, the title of the book was My Daughter's a Little Cunt. But we're like, well, let's be a little more family friendly and go with bitch.
But the staff of the Apple store did not know what hit them.
No. And it was the same time that song came out, like, Time Goes By. Yeah. So slowly, where Madonna's dancing around in you know, in his dance studio in that little pink outfit. And so that's what Victoria wore to the thing. And she was dancing around and hugging the wall and doing things on the wall. And people were like, what's going on? And then Madonna must have gotten wind of it somehow or have seen the video, because the next week we see her, like, and she's just, like, has a studio portrait taken somewhere. And she's holding a book called Mommy Dearest. And we're just like, coincidence? I don't know.
She was holding the book Christina Crawford wrote about Mother. But the only reason that she did that is because a lot of our people said is in response to what we did with her story. Because
she says she watches everything.
And I think, you know, Madonna at least probably has good staff. And, you know, I'm sure had a Google alert for her name. And And we popped up one day, and I guess it struck a chord with her. Over the years, Victoria Lamar had intense personal struggles and dark moments. She lived on the system, on Social Security, on disability, with not just HIV positive, but full-blown AIDS, in Section 8 housing. Her life wasn't easy. And despite all this, Victoria Lamar managed to find time and costumes to perform with, not just with us, but all over town. Mm-hmm. She was seen as the real life Hedwig from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And when that movie came out, she started dressing up as John Cameron Mitchell as Hedwig and going around the town. And people in Chicago believed that she was the real Hedwig.
And we'd call her the dumpster diving drag queen, because she would get on her rollerblades, find the dumpsters, get in there and find the drag that she wanted to wear. She'd show me like bags. Look at this clothes I got. I got all these clothes. Like, here, try this out. Try this out. I'd be like, this doesn't fit me. You can keep it.
I think my favorite time is when she dumpster dive behind Blagojevich's house, and she couldn't even pronounce
Blagojevich. I think it took 10 minutes to figure out how to say it. It was hysterical.
Victoria Lamar was not discovered by us or anybody else. She was discovered by a Vietnamese cover band called Chicago Band.
Chicago Band. Very honorable name.
Victoria Matthew at that time liked to get his boombox and play karaoke songs on the street corners for tips. And this guy from Chicago Band, I think his name was Harry or Henry. Henry was his name. And Henry was the drummer for the band, but also the musical director. And this Vietnamese band, just like in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, could not give a shit about their lead singer, the glamorous, somewhat effeminate Matthew Starr. And I went on a date with a guy who was in recovery with Victoria Lamar. And he said, you should check out Matthew's show back there. And I went back there, and this band was just playing, like, disconnected. And Victoria was there on the stage singing her heart out. Just pouring.
It didn't meld together well?
It did not sync. In fact, when they started singing, when a man loves a woman. And you know how, like, pop songs go up a half step? Mm-hmm. She went up a half step. They went down a half step. And so it became,
she was off key.
The second half of the song became this atonal masterpiece. It was just chaotic, and it just came down to an end. Meanwhile, you having like 100, 200 Vietnamese families slow dancing to the song while Victoria's on the stage screeching out this off-key version of that ballad.
And that was kind of our end to, like, when we used to do the live shows, we would do them at the Vietnamese restaurant where she used to perform, because we're like, well, if she can do shows there, let's do shows there. And people showed up, and it was fun.
I don't know if you know, I know that we never really fully appreciated how big the podcast became or grew in the early days. And certainly Victoria Lamar, none of us were really ready for the fact that we had hundreds of thousands of people all of a sudden becoming fans of what we did and the world's attention just like drawn upon us. We got advertisers. HBO started advertising on this podcast, promoting the show Big Love. So we were like, well, this money certainly doesn't just belong to us. It belongs to all the people who contributed to the show. So Victoria Lamar, another guest called Ronnie Vanna, and Amanda Steinstein, and us packed our bags and did a live podcast appearance in a gay bar in New York City. And we thought maybe like 10 people or 20 people would show up, and it was packed.
It was packed to the gills, and none of us really expected it.
And Victoria Lamar, besides doing a fabulous Kathy Griffin impersonation and doing Madonna impersonation, she was also known for resembling Ann Coulter, the conservative pundit. So we got two cakes, one kind of crappy cake, you know, and one really nice cake. And we were like, hey, we're a feast of fools. We're going to feed you guys a delicious cake. And then Ann Coulter would show up, Victoria Lamar, and be like, you sick homosexuals make me ill. You're gross and disgusting, and I hate you all. And people are like, boo, boo, Ann Coulter. And then she'd grab the cake that everybody thought they were going to eat, and she slammed it on the ground and then sat on it.
And people are like, no, the cake. Because they didn't see, they didn't realize we had another backup cake to eat.
Well, then I said, oh, thank God I brought a backup cake. I never leave the house without a backup cake.
Oh, and Jason Smith took some wonderful pictures of that we'll have on the website.
So you can see all that stuff on the site. Victoria Lamar, just, you know, so much of her humor, you know, and our humor was in the DNA in what this podcast is today. She influenced not just us, but pretty much all podcasts, mm-hmm. in a sense, can owe, and video bloggers owe so much. They might not even be aware that they were influenced by her, but it's her humor and her outlook and the way she performed on this podcast influence what a podcast was, what a video blog was early, early on when there was nobody knew what they were doing. Video blogs in the early days of the internet wasn't people like sitting kind of doing inventive stuff at the camera. Video blogs were usually like people shooting things of other people. Mm-hmm. It was never about themselves. Podcasts were usually single person narratives, not, you know, engaging, funny, weird interview / play / improv / mm-hmm. news that Victoria helped develop and make this podcast what it is.
Well, I think that her sense of humor was very much like ours, and it's like it had that quirk to it. There's a little bit of a celebrity obsession, and anything that weird that comes down the pipe, she was absolutely fascinated by. And so she was always mm-hmm. fun to talk to about. I always like to get her take on very important things, because you're always just like, that's how you think about that, huh?
She was like a little Edie.
Yeah.
And the fact that she had this close relationship with her mother, and then she put all that stuff up on the internet, a lot of that stuff didn't survive, like, you know, is lost forever, because some of that stuff was uploaded to Google Video and on our old website. And when Apple switched, shut down like .Mac, some of her videos got lost as well. But most of the stuff was archived onto YouTube. And I'll create a blog entry with all her best of videos. But yeah, so people compared her a lot to Little Edie, you know, Bouvier, the Beals from Grey Gardens. And yet Victoria, like the Beals, she had a lot of dark moments. Like the fact that she was in New York City being celebrated and loved by hundreds of people, the fact that she had a following all over the world that adored every little hilarious morsel that came out of her mouth. The fact that she was at the Apple Store performing Madonna in a very prestigious event, she still couldn't get out of her mind like her depression, her failed romance with this alcoholic Native American guy she met at the public library, whose name was Fred. And he was a character himself.
He talked like a parrot.
He was like, Victoria, let's go out of the house. Because I guess he drank so much that he ruined his voice. And so he turned to Victoria Lamar one day, and you guys were like, I guess he was with you guys, and he was like, Victoria, I want a candy bar.
And he said it like 10 times. She's like, okay, Fred, we'll get you a candy bar.
I want a candy bar. Let's go get a candy bar. Where's the candy bar? People in recovery, like, you know, couldn't handle Victoria. Like, in some ways, like...
Did you have a friend that said you brought Victoria over?
There was David Serda. He was a playwright, comedian, drag queen here in Chicago. Whenever he would run into her, he'd be like, aren't you supposed to be dead?
Well, now, David, she is dead. Do you feel happy? You're finally proven right.
Well, and in some ways, you know, Victoria was in and out of the hospital a lot. Mm-hmm. So and suffered tremendously.
And in and out of our lives, too. I mean, there was times that she just kind of, you know, she moved to Florida for a while, and we'd talk on the phone a little bit, and then she'd come back to town, and we thought, oh, good, she's back. But then you just, you know, she just kind of disappeared. There was kind of a certain humbleness for her in a certain kind of way, whereas, like, she, I think in some ways she didn't want to ask the world for too much. You know, like, she just thought, like, I can only have a little piece of this, and then I'll go back into my room, but or into my place. But, like, where she lived, though, she was an integral part to that, the social system of her building. She liked to call herself Queen of the Morlocks because she lived in Section 8 housing. And so, she would be very helpful to the people that would come there. She'd help them find jobs. She'd help them, like, get, you know, the housing that they needed. She was a caretaker to really a lot of people.
There was a French woman named Sylvie who was very self-conscious about her weight. Mm-hmm. And I think on the podcast, we like said she was chubby or something.
Yeah.
And she lost her shit.
Yeah.
There was another woman named Jan who was really on the fringes and was very jealous of the fact that Victoria Lamar was this internet sensation. So she wrote this crazy letter and had it sent to where I was working at the time to try to get me fired. That because I was helping Victoria Lamar spread AIDS and HIV. Somehow, by making her famous. As if I had...
Because only famous people give out HIV.
It was really crazy. She had another friend, a morbidly obese man, who at the time of his death weighed over 500 pounds, mm-hmm. named Chris, who came to do a performance at one of our shows, and where he basically was in Victoria Lamar's piece eating a bucket of fried chicken. And when he got there, he threw a fit... Because he had to climb the stairs.
He's like, nobody said there'd be stairs.
Stairs.
Stairs. And the poor guy, he climbed all those stairs up to the second floor. And it wasn't until we got to the second floor that we realized that there was an elevator he could have taken. And he was just like, oh, he took the elevator down, though. Poor guy, he didn't make it either.
But Victoria Lamar, like, said it's like it was really, like, heart-wrenching. Because, like, on his last days, he just said, I want you to buy me a Diet Coke and a bag of Dorito chips, even though he was diabetic. Mm. And it was funny that, like, you know, somebody who weighs 500 pounds, like, Diet Coke's not really going to make any difference. Like, why live a little if you're going to kill yourself or you're going to die if you feel like
you're
going to die.
Maybe he just likes the taste of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it.
I got to tell you, you know, it's like we got the news. We were in Austin, Texas, visiting my mom over Thanksgiving. It started off our vacation down there. And I just started, like, singing to myself her Vietnamese torch song that she mm-hmm. liked to sing. Dim sai yam dim nai, ki bon chao kun apuai. Dim sai yam dim nai, ki bon... And I started sobbing, you know. Mm. And part of my sadness was that Victoria suffered so much and yet had so much to give to the world. And we're so lucky that we got to see... Like, everything that you guys know about Victoria Lamar was the... encore act of her life. She was supposed to die in some ways, you know, we because of the advancement of HIV and AIDS treatments, her life was prolonged mm-hmm. a decade.
And just a few years ago, her viral load was undetectable.
So we created a song for her. Your viral count is low. Your viral count is so low. You got the power. You're undetectable. Always believing.
From Gold Spandau Ballet's thing. So, yeah. And so a few months ago, she was in the hospital, about a month and a half ago, she was in the hospital and she contacted contacted me like when she was getting out, and she was kind of upset, and she wasn't like kind of, you know, she wasn't in a great place. But we got through it, and we talked things over, and I thought, okay, well, she's made it through another thing, because you know we always said you know she's a cockroach, she's gonna live forever,
she'll outlive us all.
And then I guess she just wasn't feeling well and went into the hospital, and then she died. We're not really exactly sure.
I spoke to her cousin, and she said that her systems just all started shutting down that day, and she didn't suffer much.
It happened pretty quickly.
It went really quickly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's just like, oh, it's just so sad. 'Cause I know like, so she meant so much to us and so much to you guys. And you know, it's like, you know, it is, I know we're kind of joking when we say it comes in threes with Paul Walker and Nelson Mandela passing on, but you know, in a lot of ways, like this is what
I like to think of Victoria Lamar, yeah, when she was in the car with Paul Walker, that he liked some tea girls, and he's just like, come on, Victoria, let's go for a ride.
This is what President Obama said about Nelson Mandela, and I actually think it fits Victoria Lamar too. So I'm gonna
say it
as if President Obama's talking about Victoria Lamar. We will not likely see the likes of Victoria Lamar again. So it falls to us as best as we can to forward the example that she set, to make decisions guided not by hate, but by love, to never discount the difference that a single person can make, to strive for a world that is worthy of her sacrifice.
Aww.
And, you know, Victoria, like, really, you know, there were times where she really let her depression get the best of her, but there were other times when it's like her world was shitty and fucked up, mm-hmm, and yet she really enjoyed performing for audiences and was able to see the silver lining in such a mm-hmm dismal, difficult situation that she faced.
Yeah, I mean, she was scrappy in that sense. Like, she had a lot of, you know, suffering from depression, living in poverty, but she was able to manage to make something.
For listeners of the show who live in the Chicago area who'd like to go to the memorial service, right now they have the family has not announced the memorial service dates, but we will post it on our Twitter, Facebook wall, and on the website as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're not a subscriber to our Facebook or Twitter feed, please do so. And we'll make sure that you guys know in plenty of time so you can come and reminisce on what Victoria Lamar meant to you.
On Facebook, Scott Trout says, I think Madonna finally took her revenge. And David M. Line says, I prefer to think that she's not really gone, just lost at sea with a crew of desperately hunky sailors.
Sail out to the ocean, sail out to the sea. I'll remember you, if only in my dreams. The reason that Victoria Lamar...
So far away.
Yeah. The reason that Victoria
Lamar... did herself, yeah.
Music and performances seem so appropriate at a memorial podcast, if you can call this, or a service, is because, you know, she was aware of how fragile life is and how little time she had in this world, and everything... Gold podcast and video that we ever made with her, it just felt like it was an extra bonus round mm-hmm that we got with Victoria.
It was a joy to work with her on so many things, just because she had such a unique perspective about so many different things. And it was just, you know, things I wouldn't think of. She would just say it and we're like, oh my God, that's brilliant.
One time Victoria just fell out of the face of the earth, you know, disappeared for a while, and then she came back into our lives. It was the last live show that we ever did, Feast of Fools, Triple Xmas Spectacular, where we reenacted a very barbaric, sexually lascivious nutcracker.
We called it Nut-to-Butt-Cracker.
Nut-to-Butt-Cracker, and she was the horny little girl, Clara, who got to have sex with a fully grown nutcracker, mm-hmm, and she nutcracked her nuts.
And we went on to film that video again in her studio little apartment, and it was just, I think we did it in like 4 hours or something. And David on the website writes, the first thing I ever saw of any of y'all was the nutcracker video. I went on to enjoy VMR's videos and eventually Feast of Fools, Feast of Fun. Miss you, Victoria.
Yeah, for a lot of people, like, they discovered the podcast through Victoria. Mm-hmm. You know, she was such an important part of everything. Rick Aiello wrote, This is a beautiful tribute, Fausto. I'm so happy to have known Victoria personally, and I'm very saddened by her loss. When I think of the early days of Feast of Fun, I think of her right after you and Mark. She was such an instrumental piece of the show, and her spirit will live on with the show forever. My love and thoughts are with you and Mark, and all who knew and loved her.
Yeah, she'll live on, because I think I'm going to steal Nurse Stella Zena from her. She's not using it anymore.
Yeah.
Because there was one thing I was like, and I feel bad, but there was a video of this, and it was an amazing performance that she did at the Hot House, where she comes out as Nurse Stella Zena, and she's got, you know, a nurse's outfit on, these Coke bottle glasses, these weird teeth, and she starts leading the audience through a certain, what?
She was a sexually repressed nurse at a psychotic ward.
At a psychotic ward.
And she's speaking to the audience as if they're the patients in a psychotic ward of a hospital.
And she gives out these Skittles candies to everyone.
In pill cups.
And pill cups. So there's this African-American couple, because the Hot House is mainly, you know, it's on the South Side, and it's mainly known for like jazz and music. And I think they thought, oh, we're going to get this kind of cabaret.
Yeah.
You know, because
they
looked a little square, you know, they were a little square. And so they were sitting there like, and they're like, what are we getting into? And they get these little cups, and the husband starts, or the man starts to take it, and the wife's like, oh no, you don't, do not take those. You don't know what.
As if a poor free drag drugs. Queen would be passing out drugs.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest misconceptions people have about drug dealers or drug addicts, is that they're willing to give away their drugs for free.
Mm-hmm.
That never happens. Yeah. Only on Punky Brewster, maybe in the 1980s.
And so she did her performance where she kind of like took people through like this, a mental...
It was a visualization journey. I want you all to imagine you're surrounded by crystal light.
And then it kind of adds into... You know, and then of course everything has to, with Victoria, has to end with a song, and so she broke out into some kind of like 80s power ballad.
Yeah.
And as she stripped down to like her little leather outfit underneath her nurse outfit.
Yeah, Victoria Lamar, I mean, for people who know like all the quirky street performers and viral sensations of Chicago, it's like she was kind of the Wesley Willis of drag queens. You know, writing her own music and performing on the street, never, and we were just able, lucky enough to bottle some of that magic.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Webster wrote, Victoria Lamar was and always will be the most beautiful woman on the internet.
Aww.
I was just thinking of Vimar, hoping she would be back on the show. Well, you got your wish, Tim. Vimar was a regular when I first discovered the podcast in 2006. Her charm and humor was in part of what got me hooked. This is terribly sad news. She was a unique spirit, and this world is fortunate to have had her. Mm. I love you, Victoria.
Yeah. Mm. That's sweet, Tim. That is sweet. Because that's so true. What she was, just a unique kind of person. It's kind of hard to describe her in so many ways. Yeah.
And you know, for me, I mean, Victoria Lamar was like a drag sister. Mm-hmm. And we used to, like, I didn't realize that Victoria Lamar had HIV or AIDS or was an recovering alcoholic. We just, you know, bonded, and we used to do drag shows together, and we would get smashed on free champagne that this club gave us. And
she was fun to drink with.
She was really fun to drink with. And we would walk around the neighborhood in full drag, drunk out of our minds, and busting into like the leather bar in the neighborhood, the Eagle, and going into the back room where all these guys are like sucking each other's dicks. And here I am wearing a wedding dress with candy cane stuck on it, and Victoria's in her full crazy-ass drag, and here we are screaming like, who wants to get their dick sucked? And the owners were like, get out of here.
One time she called me up, though, and I call it like the golden phone call, because every now and then you get that phone call where you're just like, it's just like it's life-changing, or it's just like that opportunity that you're just like, oh, this is amazing. And she called me up and she's just like, Mark, my friends, you know, because she's involved in like the mental health community, like, we're having an art sale, so we've made a bunch of art. Would you want to come over and see it? She's like, some of this stuff is really crazy. So I'm just like, and it was like right around the corner from our house, and I went over there, and Fausto unfortunately had to work that day. He's just like, you went where? And I went, and it was like basic. It was mostly like found objects with stuff either glued onto it or hot glued, jewels. Like somebody had like this weird peacock that they put all these jewels on. That's the thing I really wanted. But it was like, you know, some of the stuff was kind of expensive.
even if it was made by people who live in homeless shelters.
And most of it was not for sale. Most of it was just kind of like, come and look and see what we made.
What did the 500, because her 500 pound friend who died of diabetes, Chris, there's here.
He made Chris did the peacock. Lamp. He made a lamp?
Yeah. You said he made some sort of lamp.
That might have been the peacock. The peacock might have been a lamp.
It was also a lamp.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Oh, Victoria Lamar, I hope you're in heaven or somewhere better and you can, you know, all your desires and dreams finally came true. And, you know, a lot of her dreams did come true and she didn't necessarily was aware that they did, you know, that was, that was so amazing.
That was part of
her
personality is like, she didn't, you know, I don't think she really ever grasped like just how much that people really loved her and adored her.
And people all over the world. You
and
know?
That's, you know, when you suffer from depression, it's hard to take that in. You almost in a certain way kind of like refuse it. You refuse to believe it's there, even though it's staring you right in the face.
But, you know, we always will feel her legacy, her legacy. It's
she'll
tricky.
She'll live on. She'll live on definitely in our hearts. But I think also, too, and you'll see in our art and some of the things you'll see, you'll be like, oh, that's so Vimar.
Yeah.
You know, what would Vimar do?
What would Vimar do?
I think it's also important.
Vimar would smoke a crack rock and drink a pint of beer after spending a week in the hospital on a respirator.
I also think it's important to maybe talk about her gender identity, because we called her Victoria Lamar on the show because she, you know, she's a drag queen. She presents as that. And, you know, in real life, she went as Matthew Bogg Seth. But then she, you know, in the past few years, she decided to, you know, she decided to identify more as trans, and she wanted to be known as Victoria Bogg Seth. But if you called her phone, she'd be like, this is Victoria Bogg Seth or Matthew.
Or whatever you want to call me.
You know, and so I think that that's kind of important. We have to remember that she, you know, she was on her own journey.
She was on a journey, and I think she, hopefully she got there, you know. Free at last, Victoria. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, you are free at last. Also today, one of the world's greatest political leaders, Nelson Mandela, South Africa's first democratically elected president and leader, and the first black president of probably anywhere in the world, went into the great, you know, pantheon of heroes in the sky, leaving a legacy of forgiveness.
Right.
I mean, this is a man who was imprisoned for decades of his life.
Most of the time I was growing up, you heard about Nelson Mandela in prison, and you're like, what's he in prison for being black? It just seemed ridiculous.
He was a political prisoner, and musicians all around the world sang, you know, free Mandela, na 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 na, hey hey, free South Africa. And he, interestingly enough, was set free. And instead of seeking vengeance, he helped organize and orchestrate a nonviolent change to allow his country to move into democracy. Now, this is thanks to our political junkie friend Richard Streetman. Section 9 of South Africa's constitution stated that the state for private persons may not unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against anyone on one or more grounds, including race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, ethnic or social origin, color, sexual orientation, age, disability, religion, conscience, belief, culture, language, and birth. South Africa's constitution was the first constitution in the world to provide protections for same-sex people identifying people. The African National Congress, the ruling party, under strong advocacy from Mandela, pushed and had to fight hard for it. Now, guess who was a champion of that policy?
Who?
Sir Ian McKellen, Gandalf the Great.
What do you mean he wasn't? He didn't like that policy?
He was pushing for it.
Oh.
He met Mandela while performing in a play in South Africa. And helped influence the newly elected president to include sexual orientation in their constitution. So Ian McKellen, and you can see a picture of Ian McKellen with Mandela and some other LGBT rights activists, community organizers. You know, they helped to make sure that their new constitution looked out for LGBT people.
What was the deal with his wife? Wasn't she having an affair with like several young, handsome men? I think there was something going
Winnie.
On there. Yeah, there was something
I don't know anything about that one, but yeah, she was not exactly the most loved person, or she was very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, Nelson Mandela was an extraordinary person, and it's like, you know, as President Obama says, he took history into his hands and bent the arc of the moral universe towards justice.
Oh.
I would like President Obama,
Martin Luther King.
Yeah. Mm. I would like President Obama to be inspired by Nelson Mandela and end the drones program and maybe the NSA spying scandal and maybe have single payer health insurance in this country. If you really want to be inspired by, you know, Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. you might want to have some of the things that he helped to bring to his country to this country.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
How about that, Obama? And you know, death's,
yes, we can.
Death's always come in three. And of course, Paul Walker died, who was the star of the movies Fast and the Furious. I guess they were in the middle of taping number 7, so they're going to have to deal with how they're going to, you know, figure out his storyline. You know?
They should just make him go get an alien abducted and go into heaven.
Maybe they'll have him die in a car crash. Who knows? You know, maybe art will imitate life.
I don't know. It's really
these aren't movies that I was kind of like fascinated. They're not movies that I ever really watched, but I certainly was a very, very handsome man. And it's just a strange death to die in something that you do your movies in.
Over the holidays, I guess news came forward that Dana Morales, the so-called ex-Marine waitress in New Jersey, hoaxed the public with her no-tip anti-gay note story while collecting money from strangers sympathetic to that story. She promised to donate the cash to the Wounded... Some of the cash to the Wounded Warrior Project, but did not do so.
And not as of yet. So we'll see what happens. Now, the thing is that people were like, because we had reported on this, because the people said, well, like, you know, she found this receipt, her tip on there, and said, like, no tip because we don't believe in your lifestyle because you're a lesbian. And then the people came forward and were like, that's our check. And we left a tip. We always leave a tip. And they're like, that's fine if you want to give money to Wounded Warrior Project, but realize it's based on a lie. And then people are now coming forward that know this woman, Dana. They're like, oh, she's lied about this. She's lied about that. She's lied about herself. Service. She one time at work said that she had like terminal cancer and people gave her money for that. So it's this is somebody who's probably got some deep mental issues going on.
Well, you know what she also lied about?
Hmm.
Being a Marine.
Yeah.
She's never been in the military ever.
Not at all. I thought she had some kind of thing. So, no, not at all.
She's never, ever, ever, ever been in the military. So pretty much everything she's been lying. So she's kind of like a, you know, be careful who you celebrate as a hero.
And you know, the thing is, like, the weird thing about it is, like, I didn't trust that story from the beginning because I was just like, wait a second, this just happened to somebody else. Is this going to be a thing now? Because I would get Jesus notes, you know, but it wasn't never, you know, because the other thing about, like, a lot of these Christians is, like, they're clueless about who's gay and who's not. Like, straight people don't necessarily always have gaydar.
Well, the reality is that Christian fundamentalists are making Jesus money brochures and they sticking it in with the tip at a restaurant. But I would like to think that most of them are conscientious enough and respectable people to at least include an actual financial tip along with their brochures and pamphlets.
Too, is like, who's going to write a note on their credit card receipt? I mean, that's your credit card numbers, you know, and your names on it. Those kinds of things. It's like, why would you want to do that?
Well, there was a crazy minister who was like, you know, going, I give, you know, 10%, you just give 5. Another news story that you might have missed over Thanksgiving was Tom Daly not just coming out of the closet as, I guess, sometimes gay, because he used to say
he's in love with a man.
He's not 100% gay. He's, you know,
he doesn't like labels. Is what he's saying. He's like, I'm not really sure I'm not where I'm at yet. So
people were like, well, who's this lover? Who's this boyfriend? Who's this mystery man? And everybody's like, it's Dustin Lance Black, the Oscar winner screenwriter.
38-year-old Dustin Lance Black.
And how old is Tom?
19.
Ooh, sexy result. So, of course, tongues are wagging on the internet. And then after the Thanksgiving break, I guess DLB was like, did I miss anything?
He tweeted, I was asleep for a whole day. Did I miss something? And then people like Instinct Magazine and Balearica Project are like, he said the cleverest thing. He owns the internet. Now I'm like, it seems like the most obvious thing. I expect more from an Oscar winner writer. Well, people, give us the dirt.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening.
I want you to leak some of those bare black photos that you did last time for a little publicity with your new boyfriend. Yeah.
Well, he may have learned his lesson. His boyfriend's probably like, I only practice safe sex.
I only have sex without a video camera and a camera photographing.
Well, the thing is like, I don't know. Is Tom Daly like living? Is this relationship really happening? And is Tom living under a rock? Because I guess he saw him at a party, or whoever this guy he describes as the love of his life, at a party site, and I didn't know whether he was like gay or not, or if he wanted it or not. And then now, you know, it turns out that this may or may not be Dustin Lance Black. So
but
we'll
see. You know, sometimes you're at a party and you just see like this handsome guy and you don't make the association that they're a celebrity. But let me tell you, when you're 19 years old and gay, celebrity is like Viagra for a teenager. Oh, yeah. You know?
They're like, somebody's famous.
Ooh. You know, so of course the internet and lots of gay people are just like, you know, clucking their tongues in distaste at this unusual
pairing
of 20 year difference. Mm-hmm. Some people written,
it's only 19.
Looks like the old queens are going after the twinks, half their age again. 19 and 40. I guess they're the Tom Cady of gays. Creepy. Gross. I give this relationship a year. What is Dustin Lance Black looking for? Ugh. What is Tom looking for? A father figure? This relationship's not going to last. Mark my words. Tom is too young to be inexperienced in relationships. Their age will hinder the relationship, and they will not be... Blah, 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 blah. I hate them!
The thing is like, these people, you have to marry them off as though this relationship, every relationship that you have has got to last for the rest of your life. You know? And it's like, it doesn't have to be like that. This could be like, you know, we had a great 6 months. We learned something from each other. We had fun. The sex was good.
All
why not?
Relationships, even a hookup at the truck stop, by technically are a long-term relationship. We are like vain.
You have their diseases.
To quote Carl Sagan, we are but like vain butterflies who live for a day and think of it as an eternity. So all our relationships, in a sense, in the cosmic time sense, are just a blink of the eye. And so, you know, enjoy the brief time that we have with each other in this world, whether it be friends or lovers who are friends or you know, fuck buddies or casual acquaintances.
Just treat each other well. The thing that bothers me, though, too, is like a lot of people are calling DLB, they're calling him a chicken hawk as though he's some kind of predator on this 19-year-old. And it's like, if you spend any time on like Scruff or Grindr or any of these hookup apps, you'll see that a lot of these young guys, 18, 19, early 20s, they're what I like to call daddy sharks. And well, especially this guy, Tom, because he's an actual swimmer. So it fits, because I've been calling him daddy sharks for a while now. And now I think I'm going to make a t-shirt in honor of this Tom coming out, Tom Daly, do a little daddy shark t-shirt. Because and like they eat through these daddies. They're like, I don't want a boy. I don't want somebody my own age. I want what I think a man is. And that's what they go. And they just eat right through them.
Nice work if you can get it, Dustin Lance Black. But seriously, if you really want to do your community a favor, you're going to leak some of those photos. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, ain't nothing wrong with showcasing some hot sex photos of yourself on the internet for a little publicity.
And I'm certainly looking forward to all the pictures of them on the red carpet somewhere at some fabulous event wearing tuxedos, smiling and looking like they're in love.
I just love it when gay couples make the world eat it. Because people are jealous and envious.
They are.
And, you know, and my initial response was like, yawn, who cares, you know? But at the same time, I'm like, hey, they're good looking guys. They're both accomplished at their careers, you know? Awesome. Like, this is great, you know?
Do it. Make babies.
I remember when Dustin Lance Black was the chicken in the relationship. Like, my friend was photographing Gus Van Sant and,
Cleve Jones.
And he was like, who's this little twink? Who's this chicken with them? I bet he's fucking one of them. And it turned out to be the screenwriter for Milk.
That's hysterical.
So there you go.
Later this week, we have Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race going to come on and give us all the dirt from the drag queen that C tour.
Guess what she's doing on the show?
What?
Drag Race has not announced yet the next season's contestants, but she is going to give us a premiere, world premiere.
She is not.
List on this podcast.
She is not.
We're going to twist. She's not going to leave this house alive.
Did she agree to this, or are you going to trap her?
We're going to trap her.
Well, we're going to see, but we are going to question her about RuPaul's appearance on Lady Gaga's Muppet Thanksgiving Day special. Because
what happened?
The world is kind of like, is this RuPaul from season one is back? Because she comes out, misses her cue. She's wearing a dress we've all seen before. And then she has a look on her face as though she's never been on a stage before.
If RuPaul had a lip sync for her life and that was her performance, she'd be dead. Okay. she came out on the stage looking real sad. And then her vocals came on. And then she was like, oh, I better lip sync now. And so the music was going, her vocals were going for like a bar, a whole bar. Like, and then
they're like,
fashion, you know, singing that
and
song.
And it's kind of an awkward song. And Lady Gaga was just awkward singing it. So it was just kind of, I think maybe Ru wasn't having it or something. She's like, this song sucks, girl. You couldn't find a better song for me. Cover girl. Now, we had heard that.
and Lady Gaga was dressed as a giant brown condom.
A shit-covered condom is what it was.
Guess who's coming on the show later this week? Who? The guy who made Lady Gaga's meat dress.
Woo!
What's his name?
Frank Fernandez.
Frank Fernandez, yes.
And so, you know...
He and I have a lot in common.
Which is?
We both have FF as initials. We're mad about fashion and delicious
meat. You are not
meat.
Mad about fashion. You're crazy about fashion. You don't know what fashion is.
I have good taste in fashion. I just don't want to spend a lot of money. Okay, so...
There was something else about the RuPaul's Drag Race I wanted to mention. I forget what... Oh,
the Muppets.
And so this is the thing. It's like we had heard, and I'm repeating myself here because we said it on a podcast before, but I think it's important in that context, and especially now that you've seen the performance, that they invited RuPaul to do like Cover Girl, like to sing her song, and but they would have
it
to
was
shake
not, the song
supermodel,
is not Cover Girl.
Supermodel. And so
Cover Girl. Yes. That's not the song.
And so, and they, I guess they were, actually were asked, this is what we had heard, that she said, well, how long will it take you to get ready and change the set and everything like that? And they said, an hour and a half. And she looked at him and said, no. So we don't know what the context was. I don't even know if it's true, but I just love it.
You know, and RuPaul's fans, like on Twitter and on Reddit, Drag Race Reddit and Instagram, they're all reading RuPaul to filth. So I'm curious to see if Michelle Visage is going to defend her bestie or also throw her bestie like some friendly and loving shade.
Why? What, has she even seen it though? Because haven't they been out at sea?
Well, I'll make sure that Michelle gets to watch it.
See, look at this filth. Look at it.
Girl.
What's up with Kim Kardashian and her charity event?
I don't want to talk about Kim Kardashian, but she's like getting her ass handed to her because she did this like charity auction for the victims of the typhoon in Asia, and she only giving 10% of the proceeds.
And where did the rest go?
To the Kim Kardashian Foundation. Aww. Herself. She's keeping it. See that a portion of the proceeds. I was like, 10% is hardly a portion.
No, that's like next to nothing. It's 10%, so it's not.
And
next
maybe
to
you know,
it's 10% away from nothing.
Maybe she, you know, Botox ain't cheap. I don't know. It's like maybe she's, you know, hurting for money. But she's, you know, according to her tax records that people pulled up on the internet, she's like a billionaire.
She's gotten a lot of money from that show.
She's almost as rich as Paris Hilton, and without Hilton money. And she has. She looks. She's basically like, you know, she's a monkey. not in a racist way. She describes herself as a monkey because she has a lot of hair on her back.
She is hairy. She's got hair everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure it gets lasered off and peeled and poured and pulled and plucked. Hey, I want to remind folks that we can't do the show without your support. So if you haven't become a Plus member yet, consider doing so today at feastoffun.com/plus because your financial contributions go to make this show happen. And we also have brand new t-shirts for sale at feastoffun.com/store.
Woof. It's a picture of Jesse, our dog, barking into a microphone and a picture of a very sexy farmer. saying, "Not shaven gives me more time for misbehaving." Mm,
sexy.
Which is inspired by the apron from the 1980s, "Microwaving gives me more time for misbehaving." But really, folks, it's not shaving that gives you the time for misbehaving, not the microwaves.
Because shaving takes more time. And yeah, and Jesse looks so cute on that t-shirt, and that's going to help pay for his food bills. So if you don't buy t-shirts, he's going to starve.
Jesse will die.
He's looking like, what?
Huh? You're going to kill me.
You're going to kill me.
No. We will never let anything hurt you, Jesse. As long as I live, you're safe. Well,
we invite the listeners to comment on the show and chime in and tell us your favorite memories of Victoria Lamar, and, you know, maybe even provide links to your favorite podcast with her, or embed your favorite video that you saw her in, and, you know, remember her and in your dreams and in our hearts. She's there.
We're going to play here at the end of the show her kind of rambling stream of consciousness song, "Sail on the Ocean." You can watch the video on our YouTube channel. Just search Victoria Lamar, "Sail on the Ocean" on YouTube, and you can learn more about this remarkable, quirky drag queen that helped to shape the internet in its early days. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
It's shining, it's shining so bright. The endless wonder of where we might be. Nowhere to hide from the solid night. Sail out to the ocean. Sail out to the sea. So far away, but I know you'll be back someday. Maybe in my dreams, maybe in my heart, maybe in my love, I will never part. As long as you are there, I know I am so free. Maybe I'll remember you. If only in my dreams, only in my heart, never will we part. So long, so far away, I hear you tell me you love me today. And now it's hard to say goodbye to you. Far away, I need you in my dreams. So far away, need you in my heart. And never will we part, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, I'll always be with you. And somewhere in the night, when it's cold outside and no one can say I'm my dreams. Do I see you only in my dreams? Only in my dreams. Only in my dreams.
That was one of my original songs. Very exciting and new and vibrant and alive. I'm having a blast at my house. It's just me, of course. And then my mother stopped over to visit, and she probably wants to say a hello. Say hi, Mom.
Hello, everybody. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you all.
God bless you too, girl.